Welcome to the Salesforce Developer Podcast. My name is Randy Winkelmeier, and in this podcast, I'm hosting Salesforce Developer Advocates. We're going to share insightful stories, new tips, techniques, and everything actually you have to know these days as a Salesforce developer. Today's guest, and that I'm very excited about that, is the one and only Alba Rivas.
Hello, René. Thank you so much for inviting me to the podcast. And I'm also really excited to be here today and talking about one of my favorite topics, which is Lightning Web Components.
Well, Lightning Web Components have been around for quite some time. And I guess, you know, everyone who builds on the Salesforce platform is actually excited about this framework. What excites you most about this framework and LWC in general these days?
So I think that the framework is evolving so quickly. And with the time, the framework adopts more and more web standards. And I'm really excited with this because every time that I myself start to code a Lightning Web Component, I learn something new about JavaScript, about CSS, and about all the web standards, the web component standards that are out there and that are now being widely adopted by browsers. So I think it's a technology that it's really up to date and that we are investing a lot of it. So it is able to fulfill all our developer needs to build user interfaces on the platform and also some of them outside of the platform.
You mentioned it's evolving. And I think, you know, that's what we really saw over the last couple of years, you know, where I think it's now 5 years ago when the framework launched, if I recall correctly, 2019, I believe. And that was like a big launch. Now, you know, we're investing a lot of that. And I recall there was, you know, beginning of last year, a big survey around Lightning Web Components where the product team actually asked, what should we do? What do you need developers to build better with Lightning Web Components?
Yes, and the great thing of this survey is that it is leading the investment efforts of the LWC product team. So the LWC product team is taking a look at what do people need, what do our developers need, and delivering those features. I have here the results with me, and I can tell you that the number one requested feature was dynamic components. And that is something that we have released on the Winter 24 release. And the second most requested feature was the Workspace API for LWC because it was available in Aura, but now it is available in LWC. And we are releasing the Workspace API as GA, generally available, in this release, Spring 24.
Cool. That means, so let me quickly recap. The product team actually reaches out actively, right, and asks. And, you know, we reshare this on the Salesforce developer social channels, like on X or on LinkedIn, to make sure you know about that. And take that feedback directly as input to inform also, where possible, the roadmap. I think this, talking about the survey, and then we should dive some of your most favorite features, I would say, is I think we are soon launching again, or the product team is soon launching again, a new survey, like what's top of mind for you all developers out there in 2024. Am I correct?
Yes, exactly. Stay tuned to our social networks because we are launching that survey very, very soon. And this is the way in which you can provide your feedback to us, and this is the way in which we can help you with your developments.
Cool. Awesome. I want to give a small caveat. So we're recording this podcast episode. So the survey may have already launched when you listen to this, but no worries. If that's the case, we'll make sure that the survey link is also in the podcast description that you can provide us our input. Now, survey enough. Let's talk about some of your most favorite features. Winter 24, Spring 24, a lot of stuff happened. Tell me about it.
Sure. So the first feature that I would like to talk about is the GraphQL wire adapter. So this is an important innovation that Salesforce is bringing both on the server side and on the client side. Because for the GraphQL wire adapter to work, what do we need? We need an API, right, on the server side, which is the GraphQL API. The GraphQL API was released a little bit earlier, but we have continued investing in it. Because, for instance, at the beginning, only queries were supported, but now we have also mutations. Mutations are operations that modify the database, such as create, update, or delete, and they are available in the GraphQL API. So this is an API that you can reach from a third-party system, from Marketing Cloud, from a different cloud that is not tied to the platform. But it is an API that you can also use from your Lightning Web Components thanks to this wire adapter that has been released and that it is GA as well.
Awesome. That brings me back to some of the earlier days when we launched the Lightning Web Component framework. It was always like, okay, here's a wire adapter, which is a very cool mechanism to ensure client-side caching and all the things, which is pretty good. But if you wanted to do a bit more than the provided wire adapters, you always had to build custom Apex, which is not a bad thing at all. Absolutely not. But then when you had developers who are not familiar with the backend language, you always had to figure out something. And now the GQL, the GraphQL wire adapter, really brings the ability that front-end developers can actually do custom database mutations just from the front-end framework out, right? There's no need for some use cases, I would potentially say, right? And you can educate me if I'm wrong, but hey, you don't have to write Apex all the time because now GQL gives you the ability to actually do that directly from JavaScript.
Yeah, I will clarify something there, which is that mutations are not yet available in the wire adapter itself, but you can make queries. And something very cool about how GraphQL works in general is that those queries are going to be very, very performant because you reduce the number of server round trips to the minimum. So that is one important difference, and for me, one takeaway to get from this podcast, from this conversation, which is the difference between the GraphQL endpoint and using the REST API endpoints is that in GraphQL, you have much more flexibility in the way in which you create your queries. So for instance, if you want to send queries for several unrelated objects, let's say that we want to retrieve accounts and leads and whatever custom object that you have from the backend, you can do that in a single request to that single endpoint, GraphQL endpoint that we have at the backend. And that's very efficient, right? Because the front-end developer has the power to craft their queries in a way that is going to be optimized. And then I wanted to mention something else that I love from this wire adapter and that not everyone knows, which is that the wire adapter uses the Lightning Data Service cache and uses it, sharing it with the other wire adapters. So for instance, if you have a Lightning component in which you are retrieving a record with get record with the older wire adapter, that record is going to be stored in the cache. And that record is visible by the GraphQL wire adapter. So if at a later point in time we request that record from the GraphQL wire adapter, if the record is on the cache, because we retrieve it earlier, the web adapter is going to be able to find it and to use it. Again, making your app more performant because we are saving round trips.
Awesome. Cool. And, you know, again, and that's why I love doing the podcast and talking to all members of my team. You educate me on actually what is possible and what not, right? So that's good to know that mutations are not yet available. That happens when you sometimes step out too much out of technology, but that's why I also love that you are also deep into it, right? That is great. So GraphQL Wire Adapter is one thing, but you mentioned a result of the survey was absolutely the big bubble, something that I recall many people already said, like when we launched the framework, it was like, I can't create dynamic components as I did before. And for all the good reasons, we didn't permit that for some time. And now they're back. Tell us about that.
Sure. So then dynamic components is a feature that allows you to decide on runtime which component to render. So basically what you do is you define a placeholder in which you are going to render your component. And then at runtime, for instance, when a user clicks on a button or at some point later in time, you can pass the name of the component as a string so that that placeholder takes that component definition and renders the component dynamically. This is super useful for ISVs because it allows for configuration use cases. So imagine that you have a component, you are an ISV, and you have a component in one of your apps that is showing a table. And you want to be able to show the rows in a light mode that shows like that has less artifacts or less decoration, and in a complete mode, right? In which the user doesn't care that the rows are occupying more space, for instance, and they prefer to have like the information with more colors or more icons, whatever. So you could have a configuration value, a configuration property, for instance, in a custom metadata type that determines what the final customer wants to render in that component. This would be a string, the name of the component, and then you can use that string in your component to decide on runtime which kind of visualization you are going to have for that table.
Oh, that's pretty cool, right? And what I personally find pretty cool, because I have been in one of those earlier conversations when people ask, why are you doing this? And we, you know, the reasons were largely because it was a big performance hit on the client side. So sometimes people use it in a way that it potentially shouldn't be used and then didn't create the perfect user experience. But now with the new implementation with the Lightning Web Components, it is actually something, A, really well usable, B, it's performant. And I think these are two things which are important from the people who build it, right? But also most importantly for all the humans who are using the components in the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big thing. And also, just while you listen, we're going to make sure that we reference all the different materials that we have already published around this, like YouTube videos or blog posts and so forth, in the podcast description so you can follow up in more depth if you want.
Talking about performance, I wanted to mention that in the developer guide, there are lots of examples that explain how to use this feature in a good way and in a bad way, because it's important not only to use the feature, but use it in a way that is not going to detriment performance. So I recommend everyone listening to go there and read the whole documentation, because it can have performance implications if you don't use it the right way.
That is definitely something we're going to link out in the descriptions, the best practices, and please not the bad practices. Now, I think these are a couple of highlights that were released in winter 24. And as we record this podcast, you know, spring 24 is also rolling out with some really good features. So what are your top two or three features around Lightning Web Components you have in Spring 24?
Yes. So first feature I would like to talk about is the Workspace API. The Workspace API allows you to interact with Lightning Console apps. You know, there is the Service Console app, but you can also create custom Lightning Console app that have a different navigation with tabs and subtabs that allow you to have like more information on a single page, right? So some customers have the use case of wanting to interact with those tabs and subtabs programmatically. And this before was only possible in Aura. But now, thanks to that Workspace API, we are able to do it in Lightning Web Components. I also read that the API has been implemented in a slightly more performant way. And there are many, many methods available, events that you can listen to, and the components that interact with the Workspace API can be placed on the page, but also in the utility bar, which is a really cool use case to be able to interact with your tabs and close tabs and open them and highlight them, change the label, change their icon, focus on a different tab and everything from the utility bar. This Workspace API is also being made GA on the Spring release. What I did was to add some examples to LWC recipes, so you can take a look at them and use them if needed.
Awesome. Yeah, Workspace API was definitely a longer term feature gap, I would say, that we had, at least when you look between Aura and Lightning Web Components. And I saw your pull request coming in quite recently around adding all the Workspace API capabilities. So we're also going to make sure it's properly linked. That's pretty cool. What's next on your list? New things around LWC that you love.
Another cool feature that is being made GA on the Spring release is the record picker component. In the past, there was no out-of-the-box solution for this. There were some open source repos out there. I remember one from Philip, which has a lot of downloads, but there was no out-of-the-box feature to be able to pick records within a Lightning Web Component. Well, because of that, our product team has been working on a new base component, which is called Record Picker. And this component has been created also in a very smart way. And the good thing of it is that there are also a lot of features on the roadmap. So I learned by taking a look at the documentation and playing with it that at the moment, when you select records in the picker, Soakwell is being used, but the team is working also in SoCell retrievals. And that's going to make it super flexible to do searches in the database, for instance. Also, the one great thing of this component is that it is very configurable. You can add validation, you can configure it to show different fields from the component, not only search by the name field, but also maybe search by a different field that is more important for your use case. And lots of functionalities that are exposed in the component and that you can switch on and off by setting properties when you reference the component in HTML. So super, super useful.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I think that's it's good to have a successor for Philips Lightning Lookup component, which was really popular for many years, right? So if you had the ideal idea, and now that it's productized, actually, I think is really great so that we can bring it to everyone. Yeah, before we close out, and don't want to close out because I love the conversation with you, is there anything else you think people should pay attention to in the Spring 24 release when it comes to LWC?
Yes, there's one more thing, just the last thing, which is the instrumentation API. And this was very timely for me to know about this because I was in a conference and one developer asked me, is there a way in which I can log the interactions that my users are having with my Lightning Web Components? They wanted to add instrumentation capabilities and logging capabilities, right? And that's available now thanks to this new API. So how does it work? It's super easy. You import a log module from the Lightning Logger library, and then you use it in your Lightning Web Components to log whatever you want. Then what's the way to read those logs? Thanks to event monitoring. You need an event monitoring license, obviously, but if you are already using event monitoring, there's going to be a new event type called Lightning Logger Event that you are going to be able to read and to get information from. And that way you can get insights of what your users are doing with your app and with your UI.
Awesome. I think that is a very important step because sometimes we just think as developers, here's the real cool thing we deployed to our user base, but how do we actually know how people are using it and what is not going to use so that we can start really optimizing with the different business stakeholders the component? So it's a very, very important step. Cool. Well, Alba, I thank you very much for being here at the podcast and giving me and all our listeners a good rundown of your most favorite Lightning Web Components features. I'm pretty sure there are more, but I want to be mindful of everyone's time that we don't have like a full month to talk about that. But the good thing is you will be back at some point and you will help us to learn more about what you love about the platform. Alba, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much, and thank you all the listeners for being listening today.
If you're still here, thanks for listening, and head over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast to check out all our episodes. And also, check out the show notes, because that's where you will find all the great links to provide you more information and insights about all the topics we talked about today. Bye-bye.